Well, thank you for being here.
We are gathered to hear Josh share a bit from his experience. And Josh Arrington, Lisa is his wife. She's here with him this week. They have four children. They are a foster family with one child, a second one coming, or is it there yet? When you get back, the second one will be there. Just an incredible heart for their community and a heart for foster care adoption. And so they came to Vancouver area in 2010 from Texas. They planted Church on the Rock Global Ministries. It is a network of micro churches, and Josh was just sharing up here that they switched to that model right before COVID hit and were primed and ready to go. Josh is the lead pastor, and he with a team of elders leads Church on the Rock Global Ministries, and then is the primary communicator, especially on their monthly celebration worship gatherings. But their church as a whole, they make, they grow, they multiply disciples through relational communities. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what Josh has to share with us this afternoon about communication. And so let me pray with us as we start out. Father, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here safely. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that you would teach us at least one thing, God, that you want each one of us to apply in our specific context. And Lord, I pray that you would bless and speak through Josh in this next hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, it's so good to be here with you. And like Peter said, that was the introduction to who I am. But I do have to share a little bit more. It was, as I shared with this couple here, it was unbelievable the timing of what the Lord did for our church. And so we moved to Vancouver in 2010 to plant a church. But really, our leadership team in 2019 had this really strong sense that the Lord was wanting us to change directions. Into this idea, everything that we put on the table to focus on of how are we impacting the kingdom in our neighborhoods, in our area, and everything was built about around relationships. They're serving and involved in the community there. And so we began to pray and organize our two churches into about eight different groups that we're going to center around different missions in the community as we reach out and serve. And it was the craziest timing. We launched it on the first Sunday of March 2020. There, the next Monday, everything was shut down. There, so we were like, "What in the world is going on here? How's this going to work?" The blessing in disguise is over half of our groups, because they were centered on missions in the community, were deemed essential services there because of what was happening in the community there. And so half of them continued to meet, never shut down, had to have a couple of things there for the first month or so. But it was just amazing to see what God did in the midst of that. And that really ties into what we're talking about here today, is really digging in to, do we trust God in what he says, and when he says it, and what he's going to do there. And so what I want to do together today is I want us to just kind of unpack this idea of preaching with purpose, okay? So now when I say preaching with purpose here, you can interchange the word teaching with purpose as well. I know for some of you, when you hear the word preaching, and I know this is a church planting conference, and some of you are going, I'm brand new to this. I wish I was preaching to someone there, because I don't even have a group going yet there. Because a lot of times when we hear the word preaching, we immediately tie that to a Sunday morning worship gathering. Am I preaching on a weekly basis, right? But here's the thing, right? Preaching and teaching are really not that different. In fact, I preach a lot, but I have more of a teaching style there of discussion, open dialogue, walking back and forth through these things. And so just hear that as we talk through this afternoon. Whenever you hear preaching with purpose or teaching with purpose, those go hand in hand together, however it fits for you. But what I would like for us to do is look at about four different areas of some trends that we're starting to see happen in the area of preaching and teaching there. And unfortunately, some of these trends are kind of drifting in the negative side of things when it comes to popular preaching or popular teaching today, or what others are being kind of encouraged when it comes to teaching or preaching. And so I want us to walk through those together. I'm also the lead trainer for Vancouver for the Send Network there. And so you can see my whiteboard here. Every trainer's gotta have a whiteboard, right? And if any of you are involved in church plant training, you know how that works. And I want us to get started by just talking through and answering one question together. Okay, and that question is, what is the purpose of preaching, okay, or teaching, right? Either one of those. As we're talking about God's word here, what is the purpose of preaching or teaching God's word? Going, this really is a question I'm asking for feedback in, right? So it's not rhetorical. What is the purpose of preaching or teaching God's word? Absolutely. So the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What else? Mission. Absolutely. Yeah, that's good. Or no, glory, glory of God, yeah, for the glory of God. Feed the sheep, yeah, I heard that, that's good. What was that? God's plan, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm, that's good. Any others?
Mm-hmm. Touch the heart,
okay.
Moving the emotions, and touch the will.
Good, good. Mind, heart, will. Good. Any others? Mm-hmm. Where and how to go. That's good. That's good. The purpose of preaching there. So we have a great understanding here of how this fits together. What is the purpose of preaching? The knowledge of Jesus Christ, where they can come to that saving knowledge. You know, how will they know unless someone goes? And how will they go unless someone sends? And how will they hear unless someone speaks, right? That idea of understanding there. The mission, people in action. Right? Not just being passive, but involved in the mission of God. How will they know what that is? I mean, as pastors, leaders, I mean, is that not one of the number one questions you get asked all the time? How do I know God's will for my life? What do I do? Please tell me what that is, but helping people understand how to identify, hear God's voice, learn to walk in obedience to it, equipping the saints for the glory of God, feed the sheep, know God's plans, transformation, mind, heart, will, know where and how to go. All of these things fit together in the purpose of preaching. Now, let's flip that. How do we preach and teach with purpose? Okay, we know the purpose. This is what we're trying to accomplish, but the flip side of that is how are we going to accomplish that? Okay, so I want us to go together today to our main text in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're gonna be. Second Timothy chapter 3. Paul's charge to Timothy, I'm sure we're all familiar with this text. I want to start in verse 10. I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to unpack, like I said, four main points that we're going to talk about today of how we can preach or teach with purpose, okay? And the importance of staying true to this idea of preaching with purpose. So verse 10 of chapter 3 says this, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their eyes away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry." And we could pack it up right there and go, that's preaching with purpose, right there, right? As we look at this charge that Paul leaves to Timothy. But if you really think about it, Paul said a whole lot in those few verses. Right, there is a lot to unpack in what Paul just put out there to Timothy. But in regards to what we're looking at today, I want us to look at four areas that are vitally important if we are going to preach or teach with purpose in the churches, in the areas that God has given us to give this opportunity to. And the first one is this: we must preach or teach all of the word. We must preach or teach all of the word. Look at verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Let me ask you another question here. Do you believe that statement to be true? All scripture is God-breathed and useful. Absolutely, right? We believe that to be true. Now, let me ask you another question. If I talked to your people in your church that listen to your preaching on a weekly basis or your teaching, would they say, my pastor thinks that is true? Because I hear him doing that, preaching and teaching from the whole counsel of scripture. Or the trend we're starting to see is more and more people moving away from the teaching of all of scripture, right? We're seeing that trend that's happening. They're moving away from it. But look at the purpose of this, verse 17. What does he say? So that every man of God would be thoroughly equipped. There. Now let's stop and talk about this for just a second, because let's be honest, right? There are some of us that when we start talking, you know what we're talking about here, right? The trend away from teaching all the scripture, it's let's leave the old in the past, and let's move to the teaching of the new, right? If Jesus said it, that had to be more important than what was said in the Old Testament. He came to fulfill all those things. So let's get rid of that. Let's just stick our time here in the New Testament and let's spend our time around here. But you see, here's the danger in that is that if we were honest with ourselves, sometimes the reason that we do that is teaching the Old Testament can be a little intimidating. But let's just be real, right? It can be intimidating when you get some of those passages and the people are going, well, why did God do this in this situation? And you have to swallow and go, yeah, that's rough, right? I'm glad I didn't live in that situation right there, but why did he do this? Or how does this fit in with this? And we get a little nervous when we go there. But let me stop and remind you of something here that sometimes we forget and we take for granted. When Paul is writing this charge to Timothy, it's all they had was the Old Testament scriptures. Okay? So when Paul says all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, he's talking about the Old Testament there. Now, we know that the New Testament is coming, but Timothy didn't even realize he was reading one of the letters that was going to be in the New Testament, right? And so let me paint this picture for you of the importance of teaching the entire counsel of God's word. So you're telling me that in this time and age when Paul is writing to Timothy, that people were coming to faith right and left in Jesus simply by a teaching of the Old Testament scriptures and a testimony of what Jesus came and did. And that's the fullness of what's happening here. The apostles were sharing with the new believers Jesus' teachings and the stories and what was going on, but they were all still referencing the old covenant, the Old Testament there. And so we have to stop and go, do I really believe that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for these things that he talks about here? Now here is the challenge, and here's where you can be so helpful in this area. Look at verse 15. You back up. So he's talked about all scripture being God-breathed so that every man can be thoroughly equipped. But look at what he reminds Timothy, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. How from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now we know without a doubt he's talking about just the Old Testament. He's like, Timothy, you're a little boy. You were raised up in this there. And your understanding of those which are making you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You have come to faith because of what you have been raised in and now what you have heard by the testimony of many witnesses. Jesus came as the fulfillment of that. And here is the most important thing when you talk about preaching the whole counsel of scripture and preaching with purpose that you can help your people tremendously with. And it is this, helping them connect the dots from the old covenant to the new covenant. Powerful, powerful. How to connect the dots. And I know what some of you might be thinking in the room right now. I don't know how to do that. But I'm the pastor and I'm the teacher. And so how do I do that without getting overwhelmed? Well, let me encourage you with that. You know, find a mentor. Find someone. I'm not saying everybody has to go be seminary educated to understand the fullness of all these things. If that's where God's leading you, by all means, go do that. I'm seminary educated. I've been there. I've done that. I'm there. But I lead a network of missional churches that none of the other leaders are, right? They're being raised up, trained, equipped from within, and sent out. They're living full-time lives and jobs there, and they can't add something else to their plate there. And so what I help them do is I take on that role in their life of being the person who tries to help them connect the dots, right? Because can you imagine the power that comes when people start realizing Jesus didn't just show up by accident or by coincidence? There, like, yeah, you can read about Jesus' life and go, oh man, yeah, he was a good dude, right? And he did some good things and he claimed some things, but when you start putting all the pieces together, you begin to see that there is a powerful picture of salvation when you connect the dots from the old to the new. So don't be discouraged or scared of that. Embrace that, because it's just what your people need to go a little bit deeper into an understanding of how Jesus comes in the fulfillment of these things. And so number one, preach and teach all of the word. Number two, this is gonna sound like it's a step back, but it's really not. It's just another idea we gotta look at when it comes to preaching with purpose. And the second one is preach or teach the word. Okay? Preach or teach the word. I know you're going, wait a second. We just talked about the whole council. Now, what do you mean, preach or teach the word? Well, here's another challenge that we're getting at. Look at verse 16 again. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Okay? If you skip down to chapter 4, verse 2, you're going to see Paul repeat himself. Preach the word. Be prepared in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You say, now what do you mean, preach the word, when you just talked about the other? Here's what I'm talking about. Here's another trend that pastors, teachers, we have to move away from. The trend right now is moving in a direction where we come up with some kind of clever idea that we want to talk about for the next 30 or 40 minutes. And then we run over there and find some little piece of God's word that validates what we want to say. And let me encourage you in that. If you're ever wondering why it doesn't seem like your teaching or your preaching is coming across with any authority or power or influence or transformation, this might be the number one inhibitor. Is because what we've decided to do is, I have something really important I want to say, and I'm going to find something from God's word that will back up what I want to tell you. And so how this plays out is a teacher will talk for 30, 40 minutes about a topic of importance to them. And it might be an important topic, but they've only referenced one verse of the Bible. Oh, well, you know, in John chapter 3, verse 7, it says this. And so therefore, I'm going to validate everything I'm telling you because I found this one verse. And here is the danger in this, without even stopping and going, well, first, the first danger is let's let God's word speak for itself instead of thinking we have to come in with something better to say. That's the first danger. But here's the bigger danger that's a byproduct of this that we don't even realize is happening. And the only reason I can say this with certainty is I've talked to a lot of people that this has become a view for them. And here's how it goes. If this is the preaching or teaching that they understand, here is really what you're saying, is that I'm going to live my life a certain way, and I'm going to find parts of God's word to come and bring it into alignment with my life. Okay? That's what we're saying when we do this, right? I have something to say. I'm going to take something from God's word and bring it into alignment with what I want to have happen. Here's what it should look like. God's word is the standard, right? It sets the standard. I tell our people all the time, I didn't write it, I'm just reading it. I didn't come up with this. No, I'm reading it. And here's what we have to do. Hold it as the standard in our life. And now we have to choose whether or not we want to bring our life into alignment with it. Very different. And we have to be careful, without even knowing it, we might be encouraging that viewpoint by going, man, listen to these amazing stories and how this is going to completely transform your life because God said something in 2 Peter that's going to help you. As opposed to, let's hear what God's word says right now in this moment. And now let's make a choice together. What are we going to do about it in our lives? Are we going to go, that's a pretty high standard. I really still want to go this way, so I'm going to just dismiss some of that and move here. Or am I going to go, like we just heard in the message, in humility? I'm a sinner. And this is sin, and I need to bring my life back into alignment here. Such an important part. Preach and teach the word. I went and spoke at a church in our area one time there. And I spoke on a passage of scripture. And I'm talking like we might have covered 8 or 9, 10 verses. And I had somebody come up to me. I was a guest at their church. And they told me this with tears in their eyes. That's the most scripture we've heard in the past 6 months. They were faithful there every week, but they were just getting a taste of, here's what I want to say. Oh, and by the way, God probably validates this somewhere in his word instead of reversing that, right? Such an important part if we're going to preach with purpose. Verse 3 and 4 in chapter 4 tells us the warning about the opposite of this, right? Look at verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their eyes away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You know what's scary about that text? A lot of times, that's not even a conscious choice that we make. Sometimes we just naturally drift that direction if we're not careful, because we dismiss the truth to say, I don't like that part, right? You know how that works, right? And I'm from Vancouver, right? Oh my goodness, there. You have to teach things that rub a little bit. I can't believe you would say that. Again, I'm just reading what was already written there. And we have to hold truth to that truth, or we will find ourselves turning aside, and we'll have a gathering of people that we're just itching their ears and giving them a little scratch, right? We got to preach with purpose by preaching the word. Third, we got to be prepared for any context. Be prepared for any context. Verse 2, chapter 4, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. The word picture there is be ready when you're expecting it and when you're not. It's kind of the picture it's giving here of being ready in season, out of season. The actual term here is most closely linked to military. There, that an officer is always on duty, even though there's certain times they are ready in season, and there's other times they're sleeping in the barracks, but at the sound of a horn, we got to go, right? And we got to be ready in season, out of season, whatever context comes. I love how the end of this goes to show the importance of this, right? So preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. We've already looked at that with great patience and careful instruction. I love those two. With great patience, right? We know what that, the English translation, as we move that over to patience, doesn't really do that word justice, right? We know what patience really is, right? The flip side of that, long suffering, right? But we don't like that word, right? Long suffering. I want short as possible suffering, nothing long, but patience in long suffering, right? But think about that. Preaching the word in and out of season, in long suffering, and with careful instruction. You see, the idea here is we've got to be prepared for whatever the context is before us. In training new church planters, this is probably the one area that I've seen in Vancouver specifically that is a challenge for new church planters, right? They come in excited when they have their finally after, sometimes you know how it works, like we thought in 3 or 4 weeks we'd have a group gathered and be preaching to them, and then we realize in 2 or 3 years, oh, I'm finally having a gathering together. They're super excited and they start going and they're ready to go, and I'll go and support them in that. And you begin to look out at their audience and what they just taught, and you can tell it's a disconnect. Right? Of, I had this incredible message going. I was with one time and he was preaching through John 1, right? And going through John 1, and you could just tell the people he was preaching and teaching to didn't know what John he was even talking about. Oh, so the author is the one, oh no, that's actually another John and there. And so what I mean is we gotta be ready for whatever context the Lord puts us in, okay? And so what I mean by this is what we just heard Kesavan talk about in there is being willing to be in a place where we allow the Spirit of God to lead us and move us. Now, I'm not talking about using it as an excuse for not preparing to be ready, okay? Oh, didn't have time this week. God, give me something this morning, and here we go, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being ready to go, you know what, God? You show me what this means, what this needs at this moment. Where am I? Where do I need to be patient with this person I'm walking with, right? Because remember, preaching and teaching is not just in the context of your Sunday morning worship gathering, right? I'd be in trouble if that was there. I don't have Sunday morning worship gatherings anymore with our entire group anymore. Like Peter said, I meet with them once a month because they're all meeting in different times, different places as they're doing that. And so you have to understand it's multiple ways this is going to fit together of context. When you meet this person one-on-one, Lord, show me where they're at. What do they need to hear? What can I give them at this moment? And again, back to the first two, not just what I need, what I want to say, but from your word. And what do you want to share with them through my voice coming from your word there? And where are they at? Meet them at that point. If you're gathering, you know, for us, when we gathered together, it wasn't a popular thing for lost people to gather with us, right? So when I was teaching on a weekly basis, it was more discipleship driven, gospel centered, but how to live out the gospel in every part of our lives and connecting those dots there. Know your context, where they're at, because at the end of the day, you don't want to waste an opportunity because you already had plans and God had something different in there. And you want to meet those people where they're at, one-on-one in a group. And my greatest encouragement, if you're a new church planter in the room here, is it's going to be way slower than you like. And be okay with that, okay? I want you to hear that, right? I've been there 12 years in Vancouver, moved there as a church planter, started from nothing, right? So I get what that's like. It is the most challenging thing I've ever done in my life. I'm not a very emotional guy when it comes to crying. I cry on the inside, not the outside. And it's weird. Like my kids think I'm weird. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's just like, maybe I don't have like the right amount of tear ducts to make them actually come out. Cause I'm super sad, but it's not emotionally, you know, but I had an actual out loud tear streaming down the face. The first time my 14-year-old told me, Dad, I think I'm gonna be a church planter one day too. And I was just like, oh no. Oh, this is going to be miserable, son. Like, are you sure? Are you sure? Like, I've done that. Like, I know what that looks like. And of course, I didn't say any of those things. I'm just thinking all that in there, excited for it. But you know how hard it is. I want you to have the permission to know you might have to go a little slower, okay? Meeting people where they're at. And it's okay. It's absolutely okay. From our context, and again, every context is different, but I can tell you after 12 years, on average, for us, when we build a relationship with someone who does not know the Lord, it has taken over 3 years for them to put their faith in Jesus, okay? That's a significant amount of time, right? In my 12 years, I've seen more church planters in Vancouver not make it 3 years than to be willing to walk with people for 3 years because they're at a point of going, I know nothing. But I'm willing. Are we willing to meet them where they're at? Even if it means long suffering, patience, right? Be prepared for any context. And the fourth one is we have to put it into practice. We have to be willing to put it into practice both individually ourselves and have accountability with our people. Now here's what I mean by that. Put it into practice. Verse 17 says that all scriptures God breathed so that every man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay? Here is a trend that is just skyrocketing in our world today, and that is this: knowledge is king. Okay? Knowledge is king. What I mean by that is, as long as I know it, I'm good. And the more knowledge I can consume, the higher I can increase my knowledge, then we begin to assume the more mature I am, the more intellectual I am, the more God-fearing I am, because I know so much. And we have to be careful to not just let that come into other churches as well. That we become content gathering together and increasing our knowledge. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I tell my kids this all the time. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying knowledge is not important, right? That this is the basic. I mean, the knowledge of Jesus, how in the world would you know it if you didn't learn it, right? To hear that. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that knowledge is not important. Knowledge is not a part of preaching with purpose. I'm just saying we have to be careful that we don't end there, okay? How many times, preachers, have you heard this? Last church just didn't go deep enough in the word for me, right? I need a church that goes deeper for me, right? And there might be truth to that, right? There could be truth to that. But when you start seeing patterns that come up, it's like, no, wait a second. How deep do you want to go? Because when I look at your life, you're not even living out the elementary truths of God's word. You know, you want to debate the Trinity and its existence and how that fits together, and you're not willing to go love your neighbor as yourself, right? Because knowledge in and of itself is not good enough. I mean, you could almost be as harsh to say knowledge in and of itself is almost useless, right? It's not. There is some usefulness to it, but really, it's only to be able to put it into practice, right? I mean, isn't that what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Wrapping it all up, tells a story. Wise man, foolish man. But what was the difference? Wise man heard these words of mine and put into practice. Foolish man heard these words of mine and did not put it into practice, right? They both heard, only one put it into practice. There, James says it, right? Don't be just hearers of the word, be doers as well. It's like you look in a mirror and you leave and you forget what you even looked like, right? No way. You put these things into action. It goes back to what we talked about earlier, right? Of holding God's word as the standard and choosing whether or not to bring our lives into alignment with it or not. And holding each other accountable in this, right? We get asked all the time, how do I know God's will for my life? How do I know this? How do I know that? Well, it starts with opening up his word and seeing what's already there, okay? And let's start there, okay? And you, as a teacher, teaching or preaching with purpose or with power or with authority, right, becomes, let's live out the truth that he's already given us. Now, we all know what they mean. How do I make that specific decision that's not in God's word? He's not telling me where to go to college, what job to take, all the, but you see, we want to skip what's already there and go, God, I command you now, give me the good stuff. What do I need to make this decision in? And God's going, love me and know me. Care for me. Open up, spend time with me, and let me show you that. It's how my family got involved in foster care. Trust me, it was not because we were looking for something else to do, right? I already have four kids, right? You should go to those meetings, right? And most people that are in foster care are looking to somehow like benefit themselves. I couldn't have children. We'd like to help this person out. And they look at us and we're like, yeah, we got four kids already. Then what are you doing? We're just trying to be obedient to what God's word says, right? And I'm not here to put that on you, right? Well, he said, if you want to be obedient, you got to go. No. For us, it was when we read, true religion that our Father sees is taking care of the orphans and widows. And for us, it was like, how can we lead others when there's a shortage of these homes? Let's hold each other accountable to live this out. Guess what? We have an entire missional church now that's centered around foster care. 7 families, 4 support workers, 3 social workers, 4 resource workers, right? They're, half of them don't know the Lord, but they're centered around a mission and they're willing to learn more, right? Because they're seeing it lived out. That's the accountability that we're talking about, of being willing to say, here's what God's word says collectively. Now, what are we gonna do about it? Are we gonna live this truth out? Now, we'll dig into some other things as we put these pieces together, but are we going to hold each other accountable to the truths? So, as we wrap up here, and I wanna have a time for any kind of questions at the end here for just a little bit, here's the 4 trends that we have to focus on reversing if we're gonna preach or teach with purpose. Preaching and teaching all of the word of God. Preaching and teaching the word, not just what we're gonna say, but setting as a standard and choosing to bring our lives into alignment with it. Be prepared for any context and put it into practice in our lives and hold our people accountable in their lives as well. I love what the end of that text in Matthew, I just quoted there from the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about the wise and foolish builder. At the end of that, you know the text when it says chapter Matthew 7, verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. That's good. All they had heard, the teachers of the law, do this, don't do that, we gotta do this. But all of a sudden there was a new authority that Jesus spoke with. And I'm not here to tell you that you're gonna stand up and preach with the same authority that Jesus had, but here's what I do know. If you will focus your time on his word, the authority's already there. It's already there, right? Now, let's just piggyback on that and let's take that to the house and say, God, you do what you wanna do, but we're gonna speak on your authority and we're gonna live out that authority in our lives and trust you in the process.